What is going on, guys? Welcome back to another post game here on Rangers Central. To be honest with you guys, I barely even watched this game. I'm not going to lie. And I'm going live late because the football games were on. And on top of that, I was having a pretty shit day, if I'm being completely honest with you guys. Had issues with my computer, like I mentioned in the last live stream. Tried to fix the computer issues. Did not go well, and now I'm having issues with another computer. So it's been a train wreck trying to even do these streams, and I've been spending pretty much the entire day figuring that out outside of watching the Eagles game and watching the Bills and Chiefs game, which both of those were very entertaining. And thank you, Jimmy, who is saying, if I could pull it up, congrats on the Eagles. Thank you. Even though I didn't have any participation in that, thank you. But I'm definitely very happy about that. But I get what you mean. Thank you, though, Jimmy. I really do appreciate it. I didn't mean to sound that way. But either way, the Rangers lost to the Colorado Avalanche as they blew it in the last minute. And the debate online is just who is the one that blew it the most for this team. Was it Will Borgen? Was it Keandre Miller? Was it whoever you want to blame? Either way, do you want to blame the officials? I don't know. But all I know is that if you're looking at this game from a pure hockey fan standpoint, you are absolutely thrilled with this game. Just nonstop action back and forth. And if you're a Ranger fan, you're just absolutely annoyed because of the fact that they needed to win this game in terms of if they want any hopes of the playoffs. Because, again, they are still in it, obviously. But you need to gather these points, especially when last night did not go in the Rangers' favor at all with the standings, with a lot of teams in front of them either winning games or gathering points in their games. So the Rangers not even salvaging a point just absolutely blows in this one because it was right there for them. It was right there. They had a power play at the end. They couldn't get it, but you open up the game playing very sloppy, and it just is what it is. And then just too much sloppy. Yet again, too many turnovers that went the wrong way for them, and, you know, that's what hurt, and it's just unfortunate. But on your way in, leave a like if you do, if you're enjoying the live stream. Subscribe if you guys are new to the channel. And I'm going to let you guys in the chat tell me most of what happened in this game because, like I said, I didn't even catch that much of the game, to be completely honest with you. I saw, a few moments here and there. I know that Will Borgen and Keandre Miller were a tire fire, which is just poetic after Borgen got the extension that pair was not good today. But either way, and of course, Marty Natchez got an assist on one of them. The second line's not good in their own ends. I think that's well known and well documented at this point because you had Artemi Panarin on that fourth goal, literally just get the assist on it. And the last goal is really where the whole conversation is, though. And yeah, the Rangers gave Makar a hat trick pretty much, but they ended up waving that off the board. But either way, like I was saying with the last goal, that's really where the debate is of everyone playing the blame game and everyone pointing the finger at whose fault it was. Was it Keandre Miller for jumping too high in the play? Was it Igor Shesterkin for not making a save at all, and two, not tapping his stick enough to know that the penalty kill was over? No, I blame Will Borgen because at that point it is situational. You have to dump the puck in there. You have to dump the puck in and get it in deep. If you're on the ice, if Will Borgen's on the ice, that should tell you enough. The power play is almost over. Will Borgen has it at the blue line. He's out there, ironically enough, to help with the fact that the defense was supposed to be better at the end of the game. He's got to get that puck in deep there. That's on him. That is on him. And again, you could blame Keandre Miller and say that he shouldn't have been jumping that far up in the play, but there was another man back, and then Panarin, too, just a terrible effort on the back check from him. Terrible. And it's unfortunate because both of these guys, Will Borgen and Artemi Panarin, both got on the score sheet tonight, but it does not matter because it gets overlooked with the mistakes that they had there. That's the unfortunate part. You know, Will Borgen gets that tapping goal. Artemi Panarin gets that goal as well. And as much as the second line was poor defensively, you got what you've needed from them, some solid offensive play. Lafreniere, we're all screaming our heads off for him to shoot on that 2-on-1. He passes it there. Trocheck ends up getting the goal. And then the fourth line, continues to produce, because they're all that is producing right now as Sam Carrick gets another goal. And that pass by Rempe, again, Matt Rempe, I will apologize if he's going to keep playing this way, because he has been so much better since the suspension. He's playing a lot better and a lot more of a responsible game, to the point where he could actually be a respectable fourth liner for this team. But yeah, it's just unfortunate that this game was right there for them. And at the very least, to get a point when you need to get a point in this game, at the very least. It's unfortunate that you don't get the job done. It's very unfortunate. And now this team, again, continues to put themselves in a spot to where it's tough to make the playoffs when you're continuing to just give points away, because there were games that have gone to overtime that they don't end up completing and getting the 2 points in. There are games where they're not getting the overtime where they need to. And it's just unfortunate there. Really just is. And then Adam Fox, too, on discipline. That can't happen. That just can't. And I don't like blaming the refs at all, because I saw a lot of people getting upset at the officials for this game. I'm not there, because to me, I don't blame the refs when I get it that it sucks when the refs suck, but you gotta be better than you were. You can't play that sloppy at points in the game. You just cannot. And it sucks too, because they actually didn't play horrible today. They didn't play their worst game. Like, they actually played respectable today, but it gets tarnished because they don't even gather a point. And then Igor Shesterkin too, man. I get that some of them were not his fault, but you're making $11.5 million and 5 goals on 21 shots. Come on, man. Come on. That can't happen either. That just cannot happen. It's just hilarious to me, though, that Jack Drury scored and then Nate just got a point. So if that isn't an indication that you guys should be placing money right now on Mikko Rantanen getting at least a point in that game coming up, you are very mistaken. Thank you for the $2, Steve. I appreciate it. Giving up the goal with 15 seconds left. Yes, they did. Thank you for the $2. I appreciate it. Let me see what you're saying here, Steven. Igor did tap the stick on the ice. The players just didn't hear it. That's on the players. I didn't even realize that he tapped it. He didn't tap it that loud, but again, I agree that's on the players, because Borgen is out there in the final seconds of the power play, and that should be an indicator that he's out there to defend because the power play is ending. He's got to make the safe play. Yeah, everyone who signs an extension this year goes on to suck ass for weeks. Laugh, Igor, now Borgen. Yeah, Borgen might have his rough stretch after that. I know he's not making $11 million yet, but you get the point that either way, I mean, you got to at least be a bit better than that. You got to. And again, I get that the defense in front was not great today. But I don't know, something about 5 goals on 21 shots rubs me the wrong way. It does. And yeah, Taylor Hall too. Not wrong about that one either. I don't know. I thought Borgen was a bit sloppy today. Unfortunately. And I'm not just saying that because of the fact that he just signed the extension, and I wasn't that big of a fan of it, which you would think that I called it the worst extension in the world with the way people are reacting to my reaction of the extension. But either way, I'm not just saying it because of that. I thought Borgen was just straight up sloppy today. Test at Tuesday is an understatement. They gotta gather points. They gotta, because if they don't, then it makes the decision too easy for Drury to sell. And I get that they were on a point streak until today, and at some point, that's going to end. I didn't want to use the word point again because I'm saying point streak here. But either way, you got to, like, this is a game where you should have got a point. You should have. And yeah, the schedule does not get any easier. And that's the problem. And that's why a lot of fans were skeptical even with the point streak, because and that's why I said fans that were skeptical did have a right to feel that way, because if you look at the teams that they were beating, a lot of them were teams that aren't playoff teams outside of Vegas and New Jersey, which New Jersey is going through the motions. That is an understatement for how bad things are there right now. But yeah, either way, that's why people were skeptical. And we'll see how it goes as they play these better teams, because they play Carolina next, and that's a team that just got a lot better with the roster changes. They play Boston, they play Vegas, they play Boston again. Pittsburgh and Columbus are a little bit lighter on the schedule, but either way, and this is my problem too with them buying at the deadline, is they're going to have to play so many games like it's the playoffs, to where by the time you get there, you're going to be so gassed. Two Atlantic teams are currently in the wild card. Yeah. Yeah, and Boston's one of those teams who is starting to perform a little bit better, but they're a very streaky team. Similar to the Rangers even this season, they've been there's been a lot of peaks and valleys with them. And yeah, I mean, I agree, Carson. Yeah, this is really the point, that this is one of the games where you look back on and say, this could be one of the games where you look back and say, this is why they didn't make the playoffs, if they just miss it. This could be one of those games. Panarin, to me, has not looked good. He has looked sloppy and lazy and overdoing his shifts, hurting the team with turnovers, and yet he's still the first guy to get double shifted. I agree with that entirely, too. 1,000,000% agree. 1,000,000,000%. I've not been happy with Artemi Panarin's play this season, to be honest with you. And the thing that does concern me is, I don't know if I want to say what I was about to, but it just is concerning, though, because after what we saw in the playoffs, where we all had a bad taste in our mouths from it, we go into this season and he starts off having a very solid start. And like, it's been ever since they started to cool off, I've not been impressed with this play, and you're seeing it affect Trocheck and Lafreniere. You really are. And I mean, yeah, this too. I don't need to say much about those two though anymore, honestly. I mean, it is what it is with them at this point. It really is. There are just, with Chris Kreider, I mean, there's just too many games where he's not impacting the game. Right now, he looks like the worst player on his line. I mean, Arthur Kaliev, there was that one shift he had where he just was shooting the puck nonstop. I like that. I like that a lot. Kreider just looks like the weak link on that line. And I'm sorry, you're getting third line minutes and you look like the weak link and you're making $6.5 million. This is what I was saying in the last post game too, that I want to see the top guys start to step up a bit, because it can't just be the bottom six. And you got some of that scoring from the second line today at the very least, but it's got to be something that is more consistent, or the Panarin line, whatever you want to call them. You got from the Panarin line, but it's got to be more consistent. It's got to come from guys like Mika and Kreider especially. I know most people are rooting for a natural disaster for the Super Bowl, but I'm very happy. Very happy about that at the very least, even though a lot went wrong for me today. At least that went right for me today. My team's in the Super Bowl and I could at least be happy about that, even though I am stressed as hell. I think I like the rematch. I wanted the rematch, but I'm still nervous. That's enough football talk. I just don't understand how Borgen thought it was a good idea to cross it over. Yeah, I don't get it either. I don't get why he thought it was a good idea to go with that cross pass to Panarin. No clue. No clue. I wish I was at the link. But instead, I've had, like I said in the opening, I've had computer issues because, as you can tell by the mic, this is not the usual mic that I use with my laptop that I have in front of me, because I don't have, which the camera's set up here, but I have my laptop right here in front of me. So I'm on the backup setup because of the fact that I've had so many computer issues over the past few days. It's not even funny how much it's pissing me off. It's not even funny how stressed I am trying to fix all that. And now I lost all my information on it. So I have to find a way to get all that back. And then it's just a nightmare with that. Losing technology, blessing and a curse. Blessing and a curse. It's just infuriating. I hope that everyone ends up being wrong about this, but I agree that it's hard to argue that the Chiefs are the darling of the NFL, but it would feel so good to get revenge. I think if the Ravens played this game instead of the Bills, and I'm sorry if anyone in here is a Bills fan, I think the Ravens would have beat the Chiefs today. The Chiefs were not impressive at all. They, like, I don't understand why the Bills were not using Cook enough. And now they're going to have to go against Saquon Barkley. Good luck. Hate how my happiness is based off of this team. I really do. I really feel like I'm in an abusive relationship. Honestly, Adam, I'm at a point personally, and you got to try to get to this point where you let it go. It's easier said than done. It took me a while to get there, but this is why I have not been as mad on these post-game streams, because I've learned to just let it go. I might not be happy with them. I might be upset with them with certain things, but I'll move on with my day. I'm not going to sit here and scream like I was before about when I'm upset with this team. I'm not going to sit here and start breaking things and all that stuff. And I get that's what more people want from an entertainment standpoint with me, but you got to just learn to let go of all of that. Because at the end of the day, I've learned that what I've learned is that there's too much pain. I'm at the point where I'm numb from it. And I'm at the point where, on top of all that, it's out of my control. It's out of my control. That's why I'm at the point where it's like I'm done getting worked up over it. Yeah. When you become I think I finally reached my veteran status this year. I really think so, because once you reach the veteran status, that's where you get to, where it's like you question things, you might be upset with things, but you're not as mad as you used to be over certain things. What will the team have to do to get me to be as passionate as I was before? Honestly, I don't know. I really don't. Probably, I don't know. I honestly don't know. I wouldn't say that I'm not passionate about it anymore, but I'm at a point where it's like, I'm not going to completely lose my mind. I'll be happy if things go the right way for the Rangers, but like, I'm at a point where I'm done losing my mind about it, you know? Yeah, I've reached my unk status as a fan, if you will. Like Jacob said in the chat. This might sound harsh, but people who have their lives together, who have a steady situation at home, don't let their mood get impacted by sports. You might dislike a loss, but you won't let it ruin your week. I mean, I agree with this to an extent. I think that's fair. I'll never judge someone that does, just because of the fact that, you know, I've been there at points. And I understand with playoffs, especially when it ruins a fan's week, because with the Mets, man, I was crushed. I wasn't like mad. I was just crushed this past year when they couldn't get it done. I was just crushed. And, you know, this is really what it is. It's just like, I get to a point where I'm numb. And I think that's fair, especially after the playoffs. But, you know, I'm at a point where it's like, we're in game 49 of the regular season. I'm really not going to get worked up over it. Like, I'm done getting worked up over it. I really am. Have a steady situation at home and get moody, disagree. And that's why I'm saying, like, I get when some fans still are like that. I do. And that's fair, Steven. I get that. And I wish I could be that way. But when they lose in the playoffs, when any of my teams lose in the playoffs, it is. That takes me a bit to recover from. That does. Especially with the Mets last year, with the Eagles when they lost the Super Bowl, which if that happens this year again, I don't even want to think about how crushed I'm going to be, because the Mets just felt like they had magic this past year. The Rangers, even last year, I thought when they went up seven, when they won their first seven games, I thought this has to be the year. If it's not this year, when will it be? When will it be if it's not this year? And it wasn't last year. And I was crushed. If anyone gets that way, that's a separate issue, Steven. That I agree with. I've never got to that point to where I've like started breaking things and stuff, but yeah, I agree with. I'll bat an eye on today's game because of what I went through Monday night. Yeah. I get that. Been a fan, been a diehard fan, rather. Sorry, Robert. Since 1968, seen plenty of disappointment, but hope for one more cup before I leave this planet. That's all I want, man. That's all I want. I just want one. That's part of why. When I still do get a little, when I get infuriated, when I get upset, that's why. I haven't seen one. Just want to see one. That's all I'm asking for. Adam asking where I think JT Miller ends up. I still think he becomes a Ranger at some point. I still think so. I could be wrong, but I feel like the Ranger, I don't know who else is interested now, because Carolina, I can't see Carolina getting him now. And my camera's doing this again. Come on. I apologize. So hopefully you guys could still hear me while I'm yapping at the very least right now. As I apologize, like I mentioned, for this, my camera going down. But like I was mentioning before with JT Miller, I just don't see the other suitors to where I think that at this point he's probably going to be a New York Ranger. The only other team that could really make sense is, I mean, it doesn't make sense, but I could see going for him is Buffalo, just because they're desperate at this point to try to find ways to get back into the playoffs. Not that I think that's the answer with how many holes that team has. Maybe Boston, because they need a center badly, but it's like, what contracts are going out? You can move Trent Frederick, but you probably still have to move then like an Andrew Peak or a Brandon Carlo, and then that hurts your defense, and I don't know. I didn't say he's going to Buffalo, but I think Buffalo could be a suitor. I don't think it makes sense, though, for him to go to Buffalo. That I agree with. I just think Buffalo could be in the mix. Our trade chips, Hedl and VC and Lindgren. Oh boy. I mean, I don't know what they'll get for VC at this point. I don't know what they get. But honestly, I am fine with them moving both and getting whatever they can with. I still don't think you move Hedl unless you're getting somebody that's going to help the roster right away, but that's just my opinion. The sad truth is that JT Miller isn't fixing this team. That I agree with. That's my issue with it, Steven. Because there's still a lot of holes on this team. What blockbuster can I see the Rangers making to get a young stud? Depends if any are available outside of Elias Pettersson. I don't know who they could get. That's the issue. who or what could fix this team? There's no... The problem is, even though I want... I've voiced this a lot. I want Brady Tkachuk. But my opinion with Brady Tkachuk was still always, you have to... Making a move for Brady Tkachuk is to have him be the start of a building block, of a huge building block for your team, of a huge retool with the roster. Because realistically, even if, again, it's not going to happen. I'm soft tampering right now. I'm sorry, Ottawa. I know I'm talking about Brady Tkachuk potentially being traded. I apologize if anyone from the Ottawa front office is listening. But either way, in the hypothetical world of make-believe, Brady Tkachuk becomes available and the Rangers trade, I don't know, Lafreniere, Keitel, plus whatever else it takes to get him. And those are like the two main pieces. Hypothetically, they move them. They still have to revamp the D. They still have to revamp a lot of the forward group. It would have to be like some huge retool. And what John is saying here for the audio listeners, which, by the way, if you didn't know, you can listen to me on audio, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, whatever podcasting platform it is. You can listen to me. Look up Rangers Central. Give me a 5-star rating and review. But John Radigan saying a new core. Pretty much. And you could keep pieces of this core, but the problem is, you look at games like today in particular, where Mika Zibanejad, when he's playing playing a premier talent in Nathan MacKinnon, has to go against one of the best centers in the league. What happens? Artemi Panarin, when he's playing a better team, what happens? Do you trust those two? And I get that they've, because I know I'm going to hear it in the comments. I get that they've been to two conference finals, but getting to a conference finals is very different from winning the whole thing. It is very different. Do you trust those two as the highest paid players on the team, forward-wise, at the very least, to win you a Stanley Cup? What's your answer to that? What's your answer? Because we've seen it for a couple of playoff runs, what has happened to those two, and it's usually the surrounding cast that step up. Nope. No. They disappear. Too small and soft. That's my point. That's my point. Artemi Panarin is our best skater, not even close, and he's not good enough, which means this team is not good enough, and Adam Fox, not even close to Norris conversation right now. That I agree too, that Fox, I thought the past 2 weeks or so was playing some of his best hockey of the season, but he's still not playing to the level that you need him to right now, which there's at least... You could at least look, though, at Adam Fox and say there's a good chance he could get back to that. Where with Panarin and Zibanejad, you know, it's just like it is what it is with them. And sure, like, you could get JT Miller and maybe you get to another conference finals, but, you know, how far are you getting past the conference finals then? I don't know. And I've screamed this for years now. I've been saying this for the past two or three seasons, whatever it might be. What Dimitri's commenting for the audio listeners, Rangers need a reliable left shot D-man to pair with Adam Fox. Been screaming this from the rooftops for a while. But the problem was Jacob Trouba's contract was on the books, so it never gave them the opportunity to acquire said left shot defenseman. Fox at his best this season doesn't earn him a single Norris vote. We may have seen the best he has to offer. I mean, that could be true just because the skating is what it is, which if he was a better skater, we would be having a completely different conversation right now. But I don't know. I'd like to think at the very least that Fox could get back to that level, just because of the fact that he's still at a younger age and just because of the fact that he has shown it. But I get the concerns. Like, I'm not going to say that you or anyone else that feels that way is wrong for that. Yeah, and even the outside of us Ranger fans, nobody cares about what the Rangers were doing during the Lundqvist era. Outside of using the fact that Lundqvist doesn't have a cup as the punchline of a joke, nobody cares. No one. And this too. This I completely agree with. You could see the difference between Trocheck backchecking and Panarin. 100%. And yeah, I've wanted Chychrun for a while. The thing that I do get with Chychrun, however, is the injury concerns. I do get the worries of that. I thought if you were going to get him, you had to get him in a trade, just because of the fact that, he's on a cheaper cap hit. I don't know why I blanked there. He's on a cheaper cap hit, but I love Jacob Chychrun. And this is the point. This is the point. Thank you, Ross. Ross putting the cherry on top, the bow to tie it all together. Your best player cannot be your goalie. 100%. 1,000,000,000%. A 7-word comment might be the best comment I've ever got in the chat. Might just be it. It's simple. You cannot have your best player be a goalie, which is why myself and other fans were not in favor of the extension for Igor Shesterkin, because when he's on and playing like that $11.5 million goalie, no doubt he's worth that money. No doubt about it. However, the Rangers are not, I felt personally at the very least, the Rangers were not in a position to do that, because you can't have your best player be your goalie. You cannot. You cannot have your best player be your goalie. Simple as that. Couldn't agree more. And I'm not saying he's the best player most games, but I think it's fair to argue that, I have mixed feelings because, again, he is inconsistent. Like, there's no doubt about it, because there are times he needs a mental reset and that he's not playing like that $11.5 million goalie. there are times that it is like that. We literally saw it this season. However, if you're talking at the peak of their game, at the top of their game, yes, he is the best player because he's single hand. He could win them. He could win them games. But the problem is that you have a team in front that isn't good enough. And on top of that, you don't get that consistently. You don't get it consistently from him. That is the other issue that I agree with. You just don't get that $11.5 million goalie all the time. The thing is, when you do get him, it's great. It's great. But you don't get that all the time. And if that's your best player who's still inconsistent, you have issues. And you, yeah, this is it. You build with centers. 100%. And I especially mean, too, this team treating Igor like he's the best player on the team. That's for damn sure. I'm going to wrap the stream up, though, here. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Leave a like if you enjoyed. Subscribe if you guys are new to the channel. Turn on your notifications so you know when I upload or go live. I'll see you guys in the next one.